Hello, good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Hello. All right. So we're glad you guys can be here. As James said, I'm Darius, one of the pastors here at Antioch. As an elder team, we have been preaching a four-part series about our identity, and specifically strengthening our identity as followers of Christ. In week one, James Christensen, he shared about our identity as worshipers of God. Last week, Matt Kinnick, he shared about our identities as servants. And today I want to discuss our identities as missionaries. But before we jump into this, I'm going to pray again for our time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much just for an opportunity to look into your word. Lord, we ask that you decrease us, Lord, and just allow your anointing to flow through, Lord, that we can leave here with a greater picture of what you have called us to be. We thank you for all the blessings you have placed in our life and that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we as a family and individual followers of Jesus, we are called to be on the Missio Dei, which means the mission of God or the sending of God. Today we're going to ask ourselves five basic questions to kind of strengthen and look at our identity as missionaries. And we're going to do this by looking at a few key verses in the Bible and some people and events and stories in the Bible that give us the answer about how to strengthen our identity as missionaries. So when we talk about our identity as missionaries, we ask ourselves the first question is, what kind of people are called to be missionaries and what are they sent to do? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a mission as undertaking a task that one considers to be very important, to be considered a very important duty. So sometimes God sends us some very unlikely people to be missionaries, and sometimes he sends some very likely people, like I knew he would be a missionary, and sometimes he sends them to places where and situations that we thought, like, I would never go there. And so, like, I would never go back home to Illinois to be a missionary. It just won't happen. And so, but they're all are sent for a purpose. No matter who it is, why they're going, or where they're going, it's for a purpose. So we're going to look at a couple of people who are sent by God and hear about the purpose of why they were sent. In Genesis 12, we read about a guy named Abraham. Well, Abram at that time. And the Bible says this about Abram. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And in 3b, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what is that thing called when kids, grown kids, still live with their parents? Boomerang kids. Was he a boomerang kid at 75? So there's hope for all you parents who have adult kids. Just pray that they become missionaries and they'll get out your house. So, but besides Abraham, so we see here that God calls Abram at a pretty older age to be a missionary. He said, but the purpose, why was he sending Abram? He said, because in you, you will be a great nation, you're going to be blessed, and then you're going to bless other people as well. So Abram was sent to not only be blessed, but to be a blessing to others. Who else do we read about? In the book of Nehemiah, he leaves his job as a cupbearer. He's a cupbearer to a king. And he hears about his kinsmen, the people of Israel, the people of God, who Abram actually was the starting line of that. He hears about these people, and his heart is broken for them and their condition. And he turns to God in prayer. And God sends Nehemiah to rebuild this city that is broken and to draw these people back to God. We're going to read about a couple more. In the book of Genesis, we hear about a guy named Moses. Moses was sent before Pharaoh and used by God even though he thought he wasn't qualified, he said, I don't speak well. I'm going to need some help. He thought he wasn't qualified, but God used him to free a whole people and lead them into a deeper relationship with God. In 2 Kings 5, we read about an unnamed girl who was taken captive. This young girl was taken captive and taken to the land of Syria. And this girl was an unwilling missionary. So someone that was taken to a place that she wasn't willing to go. And yet God allowed her tragic captivity to accomplish good. She was faithful. And growing up in the city of Jerusalem, she must have heard about God. And she was faithful to that. And she used her circumstance to point her captives, who the Bible called this man named Nahum. He was sick with leprosy. And she told him about the prophet Elijah, where he can go and be healed and hear a message from God. The apostle Philip, one of the 12 main apostles of Christ, he carried the gospel message to mostly people that was marginalized, to marginalized cities and countries. And specifically one was the marginalized people of Samaria, who Jews really cast out and called them dogs. And we find that in Acts 6 and 8. And in John chapter 4, we read about an ostracized woman who waited early in the day to go get water away from all people so she can be alone. She has an encounter with Jesus, and she is so delighted by this encounter that she runs back to the very people who mistreated her so they can have an encounter with Jesus. This is just a few of many stories of different people in different times and different seasons of life, all sent on a mission to proclaim something about God. I believe Paul, when he was speaking to the church of Antioch, one of the churches that he was sent to as a missionary to start, he said it very so eloquently. In Acts 13, 38 to 39, he says, "Therefore, friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses." The thing that all these missionary stories have in common is that they pointed people to Christ, even in the Old Testament, where Christ's name wasn't mentioned, because every single story of the Bible points to Jesus. Even the Old Testament is just part of the greater narrative of the coming Messiah. This Messiah who will set the captive free, who God sent to save us. So our second question for our identity as missionaries is, who are we sent to as missionaries for God? Biblical missionaries were sent to various people groups at various times. We hear the story about Jonah. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, which, if you know about the story, he was not happy. Nineveh was a people, what they call Gentiles, people that didn't believe in God, that wasn't a part of the family of God, the Israelites. But God sent him to this nation that was far away from God, a violent nation, to call them to repentance. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus expressed how the first part of his ministry was for a specific group. He says in Matthew 15 and 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," signifying the people of God. In most of the Old Testament books, we have men and women sent to kings and warriors and everyday people of the house of Israel, the people of God, to call them out of their sin and turn to God. In the book of Acts, Paul expresses in full context, what was Jesus sent here to do? He says in Acts 26, 20 to 22 to 23, "But God has helped me in this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." After Jesus' death and resurrection, ushering in forgiveness to all people, he gave this commandment to his current disciples and even for us as his future disciples. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As missionaries, we are sent to proclaim the good news of God's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ to many people. To the people who are of the family of God, who believe in him, and to those who are yet not in the family of God. The gospel message saves those who have not placed their faith in him. But it does something for us too. It gives us the strength and gives us the ability to grow and mature as disciples, giving us the be able to have disciplines such as personal Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, pursuing holiness, serving, which all the things happen genuinely and purely when the gospel is rooted in your life as a missionary. So what is our third question? Our third question for our identity as missionaries is, when and where are we to be missionaries for God? Sometimes it can be difficult. It's like, where should I go? When should it happen? We might even find it fearful because we're scared of people's reaction to us spreading the gospel to them or preaching, proclaiming the good news. We ask ourselves, should we only share in a setting where it's comfortable for us? Should we only be sharing where it is easy or where it's designed to share the gospel? Some of the followers in Acts chapter 5 were beaten and mistreated for sharing the gospel. And I love their thought process after this beating of what they thought where they should be missionaries. Acts chapter 5, 41 says, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name," that is the name of Jesus. "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease from teaching and preaching the Christ Jesus." They continued to share Jesus in every place they encountered, whether they was in people's houses, whether they was actually at the temple. They were ready and willing to open their mouths to proclaim the gospel and be missionaries wherever there was an open ear and an open heart to the gospel. We often find it threatening or fearful to share the gospel, especially when it comes to social rejection. We let social rejection cast fear on us enough to keep us quiet about Jesus. But just as these missionaries in Acts, we must take heart because our mission is more important than any social rejection we ever will find. In Acts 16, we learn about Paul and Silas in prison sharing their hope in Jesus. Acts 16, verse 25 through 32 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prisoner door was open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we all are here.' And the jailer called for light and rushed in, and trembled with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas, then brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." As missionaries, we must proclaim the good news of God's salvation through faith in Jesus and his transformational power in our lives, in all of life, in every place, even the hard places. For them, this was a hard place to sing praises to God, because they believed at that point, being jailed for proclaiming the name of Jesus, that they was going to be killed. But they said, "We will still proclaim his name. We will sing praises to God." So we must take heart in that and learn from that. Wherever we are, whenever, it's a great opportunity to proclaim Jesus' name. Question 4 for our identities as missionaries. Why are we to be on mission for God? There are 3 reasons that I think of when we look at scripture about why we should be on mission for God. The first is the power and the delight of the cross. When we understand what Christ has done for on our behalf, we no longer can think selfishly about what we want to do or what we ought to do. We can think only about the gospel and sharing that good news because we know that it's pulled us out of darkness into light. And we do not do that out of obligation, but because we are so grateful for the one who gave us life. And we can see that. A great reminder of that is found in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. I'm going to read verse 14 through 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that the one who has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, died and was raised. In Acts 4, Peter and John teaches us about is teaching in a Jewish temple. And they were arrested for this. And then we're told about, they were told not to share the good news of Jesus anymore. And I love their response. Acts 4 and 18 through 19 says this, or through 20. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. So because of the joy of the cross, they said, we cannot do nothing but share. It fills us. We are delighted at the power of the cross. The second reason for why we should be missionaries is the three P's. I like to call it the three P's of Christ. The prayer is a prayer, a promise, and a proclamation of Christ to his followers. We see that it's a prayer of Christ. During Christ's high priestly prayer, he was praying an intercessory prayer for his current disciples and for the future church. He says this in his prayers for his disciple. In John 17 and 17, he says to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. So as he prays to the Father, he said, Father, you sent me. So I'm praying to you that you sanctify them because I'm sending you. This is my prayer. The other P that we see, that it's a promise of Christ, based on Christ's promise to his disciples that he will send them the necessary thing that they would need to proclaim his name. Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so that promise was he was going to send the Holy Spirit to encourage them, to strengthen them, to be missionaries wherever they go, in all these different places. That was his promise to them. And we find out later in Acts that promise was fulfilled. The third P is that it was a proclamation of Christ for all of us to be on mission. After his resurrection, he proclaimed this to his disciples, John 20 and 20. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And the third reason of why we should be missionaries is, it is the means by which God spreads the gospel. In Romans 10 and 13, we read that it says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It goes on to say that only those who call on the Lord, if you believe in him, you can only call on him if you believe in him. You can only believe in the Lord if you have heard him. You can only hear of him if someone is preached about him. And it goes on to end that faith and that preaching is by hearing. So it makes this clear as the The gospel is proclaimed and spread through the hearing, through the preaching. And someone can only preach that word if they sent as a missionary. So it is needed. We have a delightful duty once we have come to Christ. And that's to be, we are delivered from the darkness into the light. And through that light, we must delight in spreading that gospel. That's the only way people are going to hear it. And through hearing it, they have that opportunity to believe in it. Our fifth question for our identity as missionaries is, how do we be on mission for God? The practical ways of being having a missional life, there's numerous ways to do that. You hear people write books about it, like, this is the best way to do it, or this is the best way to do it. We can look to examples like Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in the Bible. Paul, who was hostile and who persecuted Christians, he does a 180 and he spends most of his life traveling much of the known world at that time, sharing the gospel, using his occupational skills to help establish churches and help people believe in Christ. I don't think many of us have that liberty to just travel from city to city, country to country, spreading the gospel. If you do, let me be a carry-on bag person for you on your flight. So what do we do? For us who don't have the opportunity to travel from city to city and place to place, how can we be missionaries in our lives? What is the practical ways we can do it? We can look to Jesus. Jesus is our model for faithfulness to God in all areas of life. We're going to close with looking at a couple of ways that Jesus was a missionary for God. Jesus was a missionary for God when he left his home in heaven to travel to a foreign land, earth, to serve and give his life for others. Jesus was on mission for God when he preached the good news in small temples to large crowds and one-on-one conversations, giving people an understanding of the kingdom of God and the eternal hope that can only be come through faith in him. Jesus was on mission for God when he delighted in creating opportunities, opening people's ears and hearts for the gospel message by feeding, healing, and spending relational time with the rich, impoverished, the weak, the hurting, the powerful, and the rejected in his society. And Jesus is on mission today for God. As he lives in us, through us placing our faith in him, as we accomplish the important duty of being missionaries in the various places and contexts of our own lives. If we just be faithful to God and share the delight that we have found with those in the different areas of our life, whether that's at work, when we're playing with our kids at a park, talking to our neighbors, those are all opportunities for us to be on mission for God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can look to you as a great example of you being sent on mission for God. Lord, we ask that you give us strength, Lord, to understand that you have sent your spirit to encourage, to strengthen us, to be faithful in every area of our life, Lord. Let us take delight in the power of your cross, Lord. Let us take delight and take joy, Lord, in what you have done for us, that like your disciples, Lord, we can do nothing but share what we have seen and heard of you. We thank you for all that you are doing in our lives and all those that you're going to allow us to reach with the good news that you have came to save us. We thank you so much in your wonderful and powerful name. Amen.